Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hola, waka, chukma, all across the tundra. Muscle shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. Grady Deaton here, coffee at KYUK. As usual, excited and sharing my excitement with you. Coffee and oatmeal on the sideboard, ready to face the day. But as you know, as the COVID-19 pandemic began, nearly 15 people with the virus have been medevaced out of the region for serious illness. But what happens afterwards? If you're medevaced and get better, Greg Kim from KYUK talks with his guest, Wilson Green, about taking care of a loved one after they've medevaced for COVID-19. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, Grady. Thank you. And good morning, Wilson. Thanks for being with us on the show this morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Wilson, I believe in October, your mother, Bethel Elder Esther Green, was medevaced from Bethel to Anchorage due to serious illness with COVID-19. First of all, how is she doing now?
Oh, she's getting around really good at home. She does use oxygen every now and then because she's still recovering from pneumonia. But the COVID end of it was over long ago.
I see. Well, that's good to hear. I'm curious, what was it like for you and your family to have your mother be medevaced and seriously ill with COVID? Was that, I imagine that was pretty scary.
Yeah, it was really scary. The difficult part was understanding the fact that when they are medevaced with COVID, there's no escort, which my mom left alone, you know, and she was medevaced because of the seriousness of her pneumonia to Providence, and they have the strict rule of no visitation, no escort. So all I could do is wait until the provider in Providence called me. I kept on calling Providence, and they finally called me with their caseworker. Gave me a call and said they'll call as soon as they're able to have her talk to me.
Oh, wow. And how long did that take after she was medevaced for you to be able to speak with her?
It was like 14 days, or in her case, it was almost, 20 days that she had to be isolated.
Oh, my gosh. You didn't get to speak to your mother for 20 days after she was medevaced?
Yeah, just about, 15, 16 days. Then they finally called me, and I didn't talk to my mom, but I saw her after they were ready to release her.
Oh, wow. Would you be able to tell us what kind of symptoms or how the illness manifested in your mother when she had COVID?
I'm not really sure the beginning, because I'm here in Anchorage, and all they said she had a pretty bad cough, and it led to sound like pneumonia, so they brought her up, and then it showed that she tested positive, and pneumonia set in pretty bad. She needed oxygen right away.
Mm-hmm. Did she tell you afterwards, or did doctors tell you what kind of treatment she received besides being on oxygen?
They just, when I saw my mom, they wheeled her out with the oxygen tank, and the way my mom explained it was the whole time she was at Providence, she was in and out awareness, like she didn't really know where she was and what she was doing. She couldn't really understand, what they were saying, because she was going in and out of awareness until she saw me. Then she started realizing where she was.
Mm-hmm.
She was confused, though.
I see. So we know that from your calling in the talk line this Friday that things did not become super simple after Esther was released from the hospital. Can you talk about, you know, what it was like taking care of her after she was released from the hospital in Anchorage?
Yeah, all I received from the Providence was a discharge notice, and I asked if they were going to do a referral, because in order for them to be, I mean, in order for my mom to be transferred to A&M, which I thought that's what was going to happen. They were just going to transfer her to A&MC. It was Veterans Day when she got released from Providence, and it's a holiday thing. So there was no contact made for the transfer, and I had to wait until the following Monday to make any arrangements for my mom to be seen at A&MC, your native medical. It was pretty hard. You know, I brought her home from Providence, and she was really weak. And I said, oh, my God, she still needs to be in the hospital. But they said they're releasing her, so every two or three steps you would have to, with assistance on both sides, stop, catch your breath, and then go again. It took a few minutes from the parking lot of my house outside, you know, to bring her in, but she was pretty weak.
Mm-hmm. If A&MC is your preferred hospital, did she get sent to Providence because A&MC was full, or, you know?
I think she was on like an ICU, intensive care, and they had to put her on a breathing machine. I think her illness was severe to the point of needing breathing machine and intensive care at Providence. Maybe I didn't hear anything about A&MC being full to capacity, but they just brought her to Providence.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Her stay there, since she was on Medicare, she was it was covered, and I'm sure you're going to ask more about coverage details as the show goes on.
Yeah, let's talk about that in a minute. So did she check back into A&MC because she was so weak after she was released from Providence?
Yes, we cleared our back bedroom because the Providence staff caseworkers said she has to be isolated. Everyone in the household has to wear face masks, take precautions, tend to her needs, which it seemed like every 2 hours she needed some kind of help. That was while she was up, but she slept most of the time. So even at night, it was like 2 or 3 hours she'd call for either water or bathroom or, assistance sitting up or, it was pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. Now, after she was released from A&MC, let's go back to what you just mentioned. You said you have Medicare, but what were the financial implications of all of this?
Since she was going to be coming to my house, you know, Providence and A&MC, when it comes to COVID and or no bad case of pneumonia, you know, they if the patient requires oxygen, ProCare is their main oxygen supplier here in Anchorage for ANMC and Providence. You know, they require having a whoever's going to be caring for the patient, they require a credit card just to hold for the use of the equipment at home. They don't, and it's covered by Medicaid as far as oxygen, but away from the hospital, the equipment is needing to be covered just in case it's not returned. Mm-hmm. The card holder will be charged with a breathing machine and the air tanks and the portable, the little small air can, because that's what we had to put her on to take her to the bathroom and stuff like that.
Okay. Was it difficult to manage the at-home care with the oxygen tank? Did you have to learn how to work that machine, or was it pretty simple?
Yeah, the ProCare company, they sent the transporter people who delivered the equipment, gave me a crash course on how to adjust the oxygen level from 1% to 2%, and that machine also has a humidifier, which is just a bottle of water with hose that goes on the bottom and bubbles up and gives moist air into the breathing tube. Because just plain old air sometimes would end up giving the patient, you know, dry throat, dry nose, bloody nose, stuff like that. So I had to go. They showed me how to fill that machine, that little bottle,
mm-hmm.
and how to keep the fluid from building up in the lines. They have a longer, like banana type tube attached to it, and that has to be laying flat on the floor or on the bed. And when it collects water before it gets to the halfway point, they showed me how to disconnect it and dump it, put it back together again, and it's constant monitoring.
Wilson, I want to get to travel, which I understand was kind of a process. I imagine Esther eventually wanted to come home to Bethel. What was that process like traveling after her COVID-19 infection and probably still recovering?
Yeah, she had... The orders from Providence was to continue isolating for 5 more days, and then she should be past that 20-day mark where she may be still contagious. So we took precautions that after that 5-day period, ANMC would not see her until that contagious stage was passed. I was in contact with ANMC on Monday, and they said you have to wait until she's clear to be able to be, you know, to make an appointment. So we waited a week or 5 days, and then I made the appointment. With ANMC, you have to make contact with internal medicine caseworker, and then they assign a provider. So that those numbers were important with ANMC. You have the department, which is internal medicine, and then a caseworker with internal medicine who assigns a provider. Those are the steps that I had to follow. I took down those numbers for contact, and yeah, that's one of the things you have to remember. You can't just call ANMC. You have to call AMC Internal Medicine.
Mm-hmm. Well, Wilson, we're running out of time, but I wanted to ask, do you have any advice for people who are either, you know, taking care of loved ones who have COVID or who are hospitalized because of it?
If they have to travel, you know, the Medicare or Medicaid does not cover the travel kit, the air supplier, which is the air concentrator. So I had to pay for it.
And oh, how much was
provided,
that?
It's an air concentrator. I had to pay $300 to the ProCare for the little kit. AMC Travel does not put in the request. It's the provider for the patient has to have that in writing. With your paperwork, it should say we need to change the air can, the metal one, to a to change order to a air oxygen concentrator. And it's all coded, so the provider has to provide that to the ProCare air supply company. And it has to be attached with your paperwork when you go try check in. And you also have to have a clearance from the provider concerning COVID saying she passed her contagious stage. So those are kickbacks that we had. I had to deal with my mother. We ended up having to be kicked back, not able to fly until we had those. We got kicked back twice.
I see. You need those permission slips to be able to fly after COVID-19 contagion.
Yeah, and the air concentrator code has to be with your paperwork before you can travel. You have to have that air concentrator. It's different from the air can that people usually see people on oxygen with that metal little can. They won't allow that on the aircraft.
Without a special permission?
No, the metal one you will not be able to put on.
Okay.
It's
you need like a special one
box
to go on a plane.
It's a battery-powered box that it makes oxygen. It's a little motor in there, and it only lasts an hour. It has a cigarette plug-in and an outlet.
Gentlemen.
Yeah. Thank you, Wilson. We're running out of time, but thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and take care of your loved ones.
Thank you. You've been listening to Wilson Green talking about taking care of his mother, Esther Green, after she was medevaced with COVID-19. Thanks for listening to Coffee at KYUK. I'm your host, Greg Kim.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
This is Anastasia Jones from Talkstack. You're tuned into everyone's radio station, KYUK 640 AM in Bethel, Alaska.